Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Murray makes a move.
And I told you guys, Monday is my favorite day of the week. It sets the tone for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If your Monday's rough, it's going to be a long week, folks. If your Monday's booming, like mine was, it's going to be a great week. And last night, yesterday, I should say, starting at 4:30 with the Knicks and the Sixers, and then you get the Lakers and the Nuggets, and you get the Giants beating the Mets in the opener of a three-game series. What a sports night. I'm here for it. Jamal Murray, game winner. Cash money, Dante DiVincenzo. Boy, I missed that guy. What a three by him. The Knicks come back, score 8 points in 27 seconds. Playoff basketball ejected into my veins. The Lakers are bitching and moaning about referees and calls. You're up 20! 20! And this is why we can't stand the Lakers. I got the Barkley sound. We'll send it to
Look
you.
Look how excited he is.
Barkley said it yesterday in the pregame show. The Lakers always find a way to throw somebody under the bus. They can never take accountability for their own actions. And that's why I don't want LeBron around here, because all they do, despite being up 20 and rolling, getting any shot that they want, anything, y'all blow a 20-point lead. And the first thing they want to say is the referees and the league is too physical. We don't know what's going on. Well, ejected all into my veins. Laker tears, Sixer tears, and New York Met tears. What a day, Monday. Monday was booming, Shasky. Oh, I'm so fired up for this show today. We got draft talk, too. Oh, and the Lakers lose.
They were up 74-55 midway through the third quarter. They were up 89-81 with 5 minutes to go. I mean, it's just the LeBron missed free throw. I mean, everything loomed large in that game.
I got
LeBron say, James, fourth quarter, by the way.
He was in God mode. he was in God
look,
mode.
Look, I know
lie.
We joke and we go back and forth. And I understand. Look, we all know what comes with LeBron. There's a ton of baggage. I mean, the guy's got more baggage than a United baggage claim. All right? We understand all that. But, like, God, he's incredible. He's still a top five player in the world.
He's really, really good.
Come on.
Before the fourth quarter, I said, because AD was cooking, right? We'll get to Anthony Davis. We'll get to him in just a second. We got John Lynch, who spoke yesterday about Brandon Ayuk. Rumors were swirling left and right. We're picking apart words on what John Lynch said, and we'll see what happens with Brandon Ayuk. But we got a lot going on with the 49ers. And just as a Warrior fan, not watching with any stress and sitting back as an observer of the game of basketball, and last night was the reason why I fell in love with the NBA. That's why I fell in love with the NBA. That was real playoff basketball. That's the basketball we all been waiting for. And so LeBron in the fourth quarter, look, he was flirting with a triple-double, but he wasn't scoring. His fourth quarter was incredible. The two threes,
the dunk
over steal. Jamal Murray on a fast break, dunk, steal, boom. He barely got up, but he got it up there. He blocked Murray multiple times, blocked his dunk attempt early. In the first quarter, he had a pass like he was Wes Unseld, throws it 94 feet to Anthony Davis for a dunk. I mean, but his fourth quarter, I was like, damn, this guy's damn near 40. And he's I thought the Lakers were going to win a game.
We all did.
And then Jamal Murray hits two yes shots, but this is
unbelievable.
Murray, for some reason, maybe it's off. Maybe I'm off with this comp. But he reminds me so much of Dwayne Wade with the way he moves as a combo guard, the handle. Now, he's got more range than Dwayne Wade from the three-point line, no doubt about it.
He doesn't jump anywhere near
and he doesn't jump like Dwayne Wade, but the handles and the body movements, and I don't know, man. The guy's a stud. I can't believe he's never made an all-star game. What a shot to give the Nuggets, and as they show championship grit, and Jokic taking Anthony Davis to the block. Took him to the weight room.
They were allowing so much physicality on his backups. It reminded me of backyard basketball. Did it not?
It was physical.
Well, and then he did the spin move on AD. It was just sealing him off. AD leaves his feet, and boom, he gets the and one. Like, it over and over again. The other thing is, like, is anyone going to stop ball on the Jamal Murray pick and rolls at the top of the key? How many times did he knife into the lane? How many?
Over and over.
And no one's going to guard him?
Well, that two-man game is just impossible to stop right now.
Well, it's also because you have Michael Porter Jr. Stretching the floor. So you have to honor the three-point shooters.
Gordon is slashing to the basket, but not only that.
Did you think Jokic, he was out of bounds?
Jokic who?
A Gordon on that play, on that tip play?
That's close. It was close. But you got to let him play.
I couldn't really tell.
I didn't even think about it, to be honest with you. But that two-man game between...
Could you put on a better uniform?
No, forget
that
the uniform.
That jersey was terrible.
Oh, I love those uniforms.
The 5-2-8-0?
Yeah, I love those. The Mile High City.
Those are the ugliest uniforms in the league.
No. Those are some nice uniforms. But the two-man game between Jokic and Murray...
No. That's gone too far.
...is the most unstoppable two-man game I've seen probably since, you had KD and Steph. You've had LeBron and AD. You've had LeBron and Kyrie. You've had some great two-man games. But I always go back to Stockton and Malone as the pinnacle for the two-man game in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Stockton and Malone, pick and roll all day. You knew what was coming. You couldn't stop it. Malone either pulls up for the 60-foot mini or he goes to the lane and he elbows you in the face while getting an L1 at the rim. What Jokic and Murray does, I don't know how you stop it. Do you blitz it? Do you trap it? I don't know what you do. Because it's damn near unstoppable. Jokic gets the switch, and he just bodies you down on the block. He just plays bully ball. It's like we're in the hood. And he's like, yo, watch out. Weight room, homie. And just punks AD in the fourth quarter.
I love Stockton and Malone. Don't get me wrong. John Stockton shorts like my dad in the 1980s. I think I'm taking Dwayne Wade and LeBron James or Kobe and Gasol, Kobe and Shaq over them. But I hear what you're saying in terms of the synergy.
Their two-man game has been unstoppable for three straight years.
No doubt.
For two straight years.
But it's also because of the stretch floor. So, like, when I look at Stockton and Malone, you had Hornacek out on the edge, right? And Hornacek was a knockdown shooter. I mean, the guy was lethal. I think he would have been even better in this particular era because we have a premium on shooting that three-point shot. But when you have KCP, when you have Gordon, when you have Michael Porter Jr., Michael Porter Jr. on how many teams is a first or second option? How many?
He may be a second option on some bad teams.
No, I agree.
I hear you.
But when you're the fourth option.
Well, he's a third, fourth option.
That's what
he's
I'm saying.
Shooter,
like,
and all he's doing is a
shooter. It's a plethora of depth.
No doubt.
You know?
That's what you need to get.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, I mean, they've got an unstoppable team, and every one of those guys is in their prime. And when I look at Gordon just loves doing all the dirty work. You know, I mean, you just chalk him up for 12 and a grimy 10 every night.
He was a great addition for them.
Perfect.
Getting him from Orlando.
Great call.
It's perfect for him. That Denver crowd.
He accepted the role,
Denver
too.
No doubt he accepted the role. You know what? I started to see him grow late in that series against the Golden State Warriors a couple seasons ago round. First three games, he's trying to do too much. He's getting punked. He's getting bullied. And as you know, he figured something out. Even though they lost that series at 5, I saw him start to play tougher, start to use his strength, start to get to the rack. And actually, Durrell and I, we saw him after the game. He was walking right through Thrive City. And he was just like, look, man, I'm just going to be at home. I'm being in the weight room. I'm working on my game. And you know what? Aaron Gordon from San Jose, Archbishop Mitty, he's our own guy. He's our Bay Area son. He has grown up, and now he's an NBA champion, and he's playing a role. What a save there to get it to Michael Porter Jr. on the three-point shot. What a wild sequence. What a wild fourth quarter that was in Denver. And then you had a wild fourth quarter in Madison Square Garden.
I thought that was even more wild than the Laker game. Because
it was wild.
To me, I'm looking at that one, and I'm just saying, that inbound play is going to live in infamy.
Well, here's Mike Breen on MSG Network with the call on Dante DiVincenzo's game-winning three-pointer.
8 on the 24. DiVincenzo, corner to Brunson. Sidestep, three-pointer. Shot. It's good! Took the bounce and went in. Two-point game. Ball knocked loose. And Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang!
I mean, what a wild sequence. We're going to break it all down here from the beginning where Maxey gets the ball stolen. There's no timeouts called. Philly's losing it. Maybe he gets fouled. But it was just all kind of buffoonery going on in that last sequence.
It was the reverse Reggie Miller.
It was just, they did reverse it. Eight points in 27 seconds. Maybe there was the curse of Reggie Miller that they finally lifted. But what a comeback for the New York Knicks as Embiid is running up and down the court with one leg.
How about Maxey?
Cutting it out. Maxey's a star. Maxey's a star.
He hit some shots. In that fourth quarter down the stretch, some of them step back threes were ridiculous.
I'm not going to lie. That's who Jordan Poole was a couple years ago.
They're a little different, though.
The impact.
Youthful exuberance and the fearlessness to take those shots.
Exactly.
I think that people don't understand when you get into these series, sometimes guys, like, throughout the regular season, they'll take that shot, and then they pass it up in key moments. Maxey was fearless yesterday.
Yep.
And then Kyle Lowry, he's one of my all-time, I can't stand watching players. Like, if I had a top five of guys who drive me insane when I watch them, it's Kyle Lowry. He crashes into everyone. He tackled Jalen Brunson to start that entire wild sequence. Just tackled him. And they didn't call anything. And then he's inbounding the ball, okay? He's inbounding the ball by Hartenstein, by the way. No one talks about him. I'm not here to say he's some, like, unbelievable difference maker. He's perfect on that Knicks team. The guy gets rebounds. He could knock it down a shot when needed. He's a rugged player. I like Hartenstein. But they're inbounding the ball. And they run the weakest little screen for Maxey, and he's getting double teamed. Kyle Lowry's running baseline because it's a made basket. And then you have Batum, a career 83% free throw shooter, and Tobias Harris, a career 85% free throw shooter, making $40 million a year, not wanting to come to the ball on the inbound at all as Maxey is getting double teamed. Someone have the wherewithal to call timeout. Run to the ball. Make yourself open. V-cut. Do something.
Well, I thought Kyle Lowry, being the veteran that he is and being a guy that has won a championship, there's been a lot of playoff wars. How do you not just call timeout for Kyle Lowry? Just call the timeout. Don't rely on Nick Nurse to do it. And officials aren't looking at him. They're looking at the court. They're looking at the players on the court. They're looking at the ball. Kyle Lowry has to call a timeout. You cannot make that pass with the player like Tyrese Maxey going towards the sideline where you're going to get trapped in the corner and you may get a held ball or whatnot. You cannot do that.
But Buffett,
you
cannot do that for Kyle Lowry. When you're not guarding the inbounder, that means one guy's going to get double teamed in that situation.
That's why Kyle Lowry has to call timeout.
I hear
right
you,
there.
But the other two players on the court, not named Embiid, they literally have their backs turned at points and not even trying to get themselves open.
No doubt.
I'm with you. Yes, timeout originally. But have to flash to the ball.
They do got to flash to the ball, but at the same time, Lowry's running to the right, looking at Maxey the whole damn time.
He
wasn't looking around. His awareness wasn't around. There's no other. But Lowry, call the timeout.
No, I'm with
you. Call the timeout. He inbounds it, and all hell breaks loose. And now anything's possible to happen.
But the second that Maxey's getting double-teamed, one of the other two players, again, if they were like 30% free throw shooters, 60%, I'll listen to that. Batum's an 83% free throw shooter, and Tobias Harris is a max player who's an 85% career free throw shooter. Like, someone's got to move. They literally don't move. Unguarded.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that one. I put it on Lowry. He's a veteran in that situation.
It's true.
They brought him there for that situation. They brought him there to be a veteran presence as a point guard. You've got to call the timeout. You cannot inbound that basketball and throw it into play. And then you blow it there. And you waste
the
jitter.
We lost the championship.
And, listen, well that was because of injuries.
I know, but he played out of his mind.
As Fitz says, throw an asterisk next to it.
No. home. They deserve credit. They played great.
I'm right with Fitz. I disagree. They know what time it was. They know what time it was. We were at all. We were on all those games.
You can give them respect.
Forget them.
Don't you hate when people say like Kyrie got hurt and Kevin Love got hurt?
They do it anyway. They give the Warriors all three championships.
I give Toronto a lot of credit for that championship. You know what?
It's good for them.
And Kyle Lowry, one of the worst playoff performers of all time until that particular playoff run.
He was okay. No, he was more VanVleet. And Kawhi, Seagal.
Even Powell killed us.
Yeah, I know. Powell killed him a couple, or not Powell, Marc Gasol. Look, man, the Sixers blow it, and I just saw a stat up there where the Sixers are 0-14 when they're down 0-2 in the best of seven series.
Oof.
And you saw Joel Embiid, who's limping around there. He had a generational performance. Embiid and Maxey, I mean, you talk about putting the team on their back. Embiid couldn't run.
He's getting massaged on the sideline. Dude. As the game is going on.
He's not going to last in these playoffs. No. He's just not. So you feel so bad for him because he's given everything he got. And I was listening to DeMarcus Cousins yesterday. I saw a clip with him and Rachel Nichols. But DeMarcus was basically saying, like, look, he's got to lose some weight. You cannot continue to play at 280 to 300 pounds. He noted that Tim Duncan slimmed down. So when I kind of looked back at Tim Duncan, I was like, wow, he did kind of slim down as he got older to keep that weight off, to keep those injuries off, because the more weight he keeps on and you're playing up and down, like next year for Embiid, my plan would be you're not playing any back-to-backs. The back end of a back-to-back or the front end, you're missing one of the two games.
But it does feel like he has these freak crashes in the lane because he's so big. I don't know.
Well, he got hurt with Embiid. He got hurt with Kuminga looking for a loose ball. Fell on his leg.
It's random. I mean, isn't it?
So, I mean,
I hear you on the back-to-back, so, but
I got to find a way to preserve him. I got to find a way to get him to the playoffs healthy.
I just play him 50 games. Like, I'm trying to do, like, 50 games, right. And it's all about the playoffs.
All about the playoffs.
But it's difficult, because if you find yourself in the play-in, now you're playing a bunch of games impacted in a short amount of time. I mean, they were in the play-in, you know? Yeah. Like, you got to have a decent enough regular season. It's just such a catch-22.
There's always
something. This goes back to the 65-game minimum, which you brought up yesterday, B, where it's like, a guy like Embiid clearly has leg issues, so you're telling him he has to play the 65 games.
That's
it's easier
rule.
Said than
yeah,
done.
It's a dumb rule. It never fails. Why the Warriors A-side Boogie Muhammad on YouTube? Remember we had Joe Lacob in, and Horace the first two calls, Horace in Texas asking about who, DeMarcus Cousins? And then we had the next caller call about Dwight Howard. It's like, sorry, Joe, we thought we had better calls. Joel Embiid. Here's Joel Embiid after the game.
He's such a great player.
I mean, everybody on the floor was trying to call a timeout, myself including Nico, coach on the sideline, but they didn't give it to us. But, you know, forget about the timeout. There's a bunch of fouls. You know, that's f***ing unacceptable.
How do you try to bounce back as you guys head home and try to turn this thing around?
We're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this.
I ain't mad at that. We good. We gonna win this series, homie. You better win game three in Philadelphia. You better win game three.
The Jalen Brunson three hitting front iron and going in.
That was just
kind of tells you everything that's just one of those situations. But here's the thing, and this is where I would say to Joel. Joel, you are one of the most physical players in the league. And rightfully, you're humongous. You play with one of the biggest hacks on the planet. His name is Kyle Lowry. I don't want to hear about anything when it comes to flopping. And he tackled Jalen Brunson.
Well, I mean, he flopped with 13 seconds left when DiVincenzo hit the three. If you watch him flopping out of bounds, it's like, what are you doing?
I'm sorry. I get triggered by him.
He's whatever. He's almost done. But it was a great night of NBA basketball.
Incredible.
The Giants get the win. And you know what? Keaton Wynn, I thought he pitched well all season. He's been solid. He's kept the Giants in the game. His record didn't reflect it. Kept the Giants in the game again yesterday, limiting the Mets to one run. I mean, hey, let's see if the Giants can win on Web Day today. Web Day. Let's see if they can win today on Web Day and start a winning streak here and get rolling. But overall, a solid win. I know you got your issues with right field. That's going to sort itself out. I'm not going to freak out about it, but Nick Ahmed at shortstop, he's making it hard for Luciano to come up. And you know what? I'm here for that.
Have you heard anyone bring up the name Brandon Crawford?
No, nobody was.
No, but I'm saying, like, he is replacing a legend. Like, let's call it what it is. Like, now, maybe not of the legendary status of a Klay Thompson or a Steph Curry or something like that, but, like, Brandon Crawford is the greatest defensive shortstop in Giants history. Now, I don't know how people weigh these things, you know, because offense is always more sexy than defense.
That's what I'm saying.
But and the last couple of years, he fizzled out. But let's call it what it was. I mean, he had a magical 2021 season.
Giants fans were ready to move off from Crawford.
Right? No, I'm with you. I mean, but Nick Ahmed was kind of like, you know, well, I feel like Giants fans would be ready for the pitchforks. He's been way better than advertised.
No, he's been really good.
It's early,
really
but like good. He's been really good.
A big knock there to kind of bust this game open to get the Giants on the board, 2-0 there.
I mean,
with a
0-2?
Nice little single center field, 0-2. I thought Jung Hoo Lee had a good 2-strike at bat.
Did you like that?
Later in the game to get it runners on. You had multiple runners on, and next thing you know, you go up 4-0. Conforto gets Jack yesterday. It's an all around clean win for the Giants. Now, I know Camilo Duvall gives up a run in the ninth inning, but that's what happens when you put a closer in a non-save situation.
Exactly.
It always happens like that. But the Giants did win 5-1 over the New York Mets. Now tonight's a great matchup. Severino versus Logan Webb. Should be a duel down in Oracle Park.
Severino, it's just the injuries have just done it in his career. I mean, the guy has unbelievable talent, and this is why he's not a Yankee. Like, I think it's pretty obvious to me. I don't know if they're going to trade him. I don't know if they'd ever trade him or he'd entertain a trade to San Francisco. But dear God, how good. And look, Lamont Wade's been awesome, period. This isn't a Lamont Wade question. How good would Pete Alonso look in a Giants uniform? He hit a ball off his shoe tops yesterday down the line effortlessly. I mean, that right-handed power plays. I don't care what ballpark it's in. Get me the polar bear. I want him playing in Crow to Craw, a.k.a. Oracle Park.
Nah,
make sure you don't miss that break, bro.
Pete Alonso needs to be a Giant. If that guy's available, they need to make a deal for him.
Well, I was just looking at this video that I just got sent to me. The Jokic brothers punched a fan yesterday in Denver, Colorado.
What?
Jokic brothers were going wild there.
Were they in Fila sweatsuits?
No, one of them was in the Joker jersey. The other one's in a black T-shirt with the gold chain.
Oh, black T-shirt guy. Watch out for him.
Well, that's the Jokic brother. black T-shirt guy.
Just ask the Morris twins.
I mean, wow. I'm looking at this fight right now. A lot of things going on in the NBA. By the way, shout out to YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. They open at First NorCal First Class Money Market today. You can now download the Odyssey app directly from our YouTube and Twitch pages as we've added the QR code on both pages. The Xfinity Mobile text line, and shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call into the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. We got a lot going on here. We got three guests today. Did not even know we had three guests today. Just happens like that. It's coming up in the game, brought to you by Safeway, our guest list, your phone calls. What a Monday in sports, in the sports world. How can you not love sports?
The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
All right, that's Kate Scott. Kate Scott, our old friend, our sister from another mother. All the final calls, the Sixers go down 0-2.
Who are you rooting for in this one?
Sixers, Knicks?
Yeah.
With Mike, though.
I picked the Knicks in 7 because my belief was Embiid's not going to be able to make it through.
No, I didn't say who you picked. I'm saying who you're rooting for.
I'm indifferent.
I'm rooting for the Knicks. I want Knicks fans to be happy. My boy Jamie Dimon is a diehard Knicks fan. Want him to be happy.
Oh, that's cool.
They've been miserable. Honestly, Knicks fans have been miserable.
I know they've
forever.
Been miserable, but so what? I don't care. Let them be miserable.
Why?
Because they overrate New York.
But you love the Yankees.
I don't love the Yankees. I don't respect the Yankees.
No, the difference.
It's a difference. I respect the Yankees. I do like Madison Square Garden. I got flashbacks to the 90s yesterday with the Oregon playing, with Spike Lee sitting courtside.
All the legends.
The defensive chant. You had Sprewell. You had Starks. You had Tim Thomas. You had Melo. Carmelo Anthony. I do love the Garden.
Come on.
The Garden. The backdrop was everything. But I got no dog in the fight. I'm watching these playoffs stress-free.
Yeah, see, I'm going against Philly. I'll let them know. They know.
Philly knows. Philly's going to lose. I'm not worried about them losing. They're not going anywhere. Not with a beat like
but
that.
The hard part for me is like, and this is the same thing I say with like the Eagles. Like I can't stand the fans. But I'll tell you this. I love watching Embiid. I love watching Maxey. Yeah. Now, I think Tobias Harris is grossly overpaid.
Oh, he is.
Grossly overpaid.
Well, they're going to move off him in the offseason. And they'll have somebody.
Who's taking him?
No, they could move off him. Like, contract. I think he's a free agent. After
is he? I thought he signed a $180 million deal.
There's like an option. He's playing his last game.
I'll stand down.
So they got a lot of money coming in, and they're going to be in a sweepstakes for a Malik Monk. For a Klay Thompson.
Well, they need another
for
shooter.
A big boy.
Yeah, they need a shooter. Yeah,
he's an unrestricted free agent after this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Finally, that albatross is done.
And they're going to have a lot of money to spend. Now, I don't know if Klay Thompson likes the cold in Philadelphia. He's a West Coast guy.
Nick Nurse.
But there is Embiid and Maxey could create a lot of good looks for you.
What did you think of Nick Nurse's look yesterday with the double chains? And
well, he's always got the NN hat, the Nick Nurse hat. Yeah, he's been having that since Toronto in the NBA Finals in 2019.
You shouldn't have your own logo monogram.
Oh, okay, Spinotti, here we go. The Jinx. Oh, is this Nick Nurse? Oh, okay, gotcha. Sorry, got derailed there, but here's Nick Nurse.
Oh, okay.
After the game.
Obviously, they score. We take a look at getting it in quick. We don't get it in quick. I call timeout. Referee looked right at me, ignored me. Went into Tyrese. I called timeout again. Then the melee started, and yeah, I mean, I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure and get his attention, but I needed a timeout there to advance it. Would have been good, but couldn't get it. There was no time to talk about it. Matt, you can ask him if you want to. See if he saw me calling timeout. I just watched the film just to make sure, and I'm clearly calling timeout. I didn't see if he looked at me in the film, but I could see me clearly calling timeout twice.
So that's Nick Nurse. They didn't get the timeout there.
Cry me a river.
I mean, you blow a 5-point lead with 27. I mean, you're up.
He's full of baloney.
And then you got the announcer's jinx. How about
what
this?
About Kyle Lowry, the 20-year veteran, understanding the situation?
Yeah, no, he doesn't understand the situation because he's into his own head.
Am I
he's
wrong?
Worried about flopping.
Guy played at Villanova like in the...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
90s.
But how about this on the Sixers broadcast? They're up 5.
Is this radio or TV?
TV.
Uh-huh.
They're up 5. And listen to the confidence. They were already lighting their cigars.
No, they weren't.
We'd love to, but the goal is not having home court advantage, to getting home court advantage by winning one of the two games on the road. Job done. Let's head down to the turnpike.
Lowry splits them. Stay tuned. Post-game live is going to be fun. Brunson pushing off. No whistle.
Oh no,
Kate Scott.
The Kate saw, kiss of death.
Zucci, mate. Thanks for the correction.
Oh my
sister
God.
From another Mister, Kate Scott.
From another Mister,
Kate Scott.
I've never heard that.
I've never heard it either. That's
I've
why I always say it
that.
Either.
Zucci,
we always
you're the man.
Hey, listen.
You sent
hey,
me listen. Some great things on Instagram
hey,
too.
Hey, listen. Kate and Elf, they were lighting it up in Philadelphia. They were feeling so good. And I felt good for
poor
them.
Kate.
I felt good for them to gut that out. To come back and take the lead at Madison Square Garden, and they had led damn near the entire game and lose in that fashion. And he got Embiid saying, "We're going to win the series." I don't know, brother. I don't know, man. I don't know. They haven't got a good Brunson game yet.
So when they go back to Philly, I want to see like Jahlil Okafor and Nerlens Noel and all of the, you know, the blueprint, the tanking team. I want them
Sam Hinkie?
Yeah, exactly. I want them all to be front row.
Want Ben Simmons?
I want Ben Simmons there sipping wine.
You want Brett Brown?
Yeah, exactly.
You want Jim O'Brien?
Exactly.
You want
Michael Carter Williams?
Michael Carter Williams.
Oh, did, my God. I haven't thought about him in forever.
He did win Rookie of the Year.
Well, who else
That's
win
incredible.
It that year?
He did?
He won Rookie of the Year.
I don't even remember that.
He won Rookie of the Year.
If a tree falls in the forest and nobody sees it, I mean, Jesus.
That's a name I've not heard in a long time.
It is fun. I will say, like, look, we were on top for so long. There is a small part of me that is now enjoying watching from afar and just being able to laugh
the love
and
of the
look
game.
Into the tears.
Look, you get the love of the game back.
100%.
The purity of the game.
How much not fun real was it fans. To watch the like, Lakers Nuggets with zero? Like, I mean, I was rooting against the Lakers, but I was also sitting there watching the King, and I was going, God, the King still got it. I'm not talking about Bonte Hill. No. I meant LeBron.
Well, Anthony Davis after the game. This is a nice little walk-off.
Can you take us through that last play, just what happened and what unfolded? What was, I don't know if you were screened or what happened on that last play.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Well, thanks for the play-by-play, LeBron.
That little clank was him shooting.
Anthony Davis.
Oh,
Anthony Davis.
Stop it.
That clank was LeBron's three at the end of that game.
You wouldn't even have won. You wouldn't even be close to that game.
Don't be Skip Bayless.
Yeah, come on.
Are you guys serious?
You got the D-Lo game.
Yes, they lost. There you go.
And would you
the biggest shot of the game? He missed it. What do you want from me?
Why are they wearing yellow on the road?
It's wide open.
Why are they wearing yellow on the road?
I hate it too. I was talking about
the Nuggets wearing blue.
Yeah,
I know.
The blue and purple contrast with black. Red. Or black, whatever it was.
It's gross. Go back to the home whites.
The Nuggets jerseys were horrible.
Oh, I love the Nuggets jerseys. I did love them. I'm not going to lie. I like those
Nuggets
jerseys.
Let's put a mathematic equation on there after. No. There's four digits.
It's the altitude.
No, I'm well aware of what 5,280 is. Is this guy serious?
If you read the poll yesterday.
It's also
you got to be more cultured to know about these jerseys, all right?
Sam Amick had a quote in that story where players say, they need to do something about the altitude. I'd be dog tired. And when you first get into the arena, the first thing it says, welcome to the Mile High City.
They had 5,280
feet of elevation.
They had it underneath the free throw line forever on the court. And now the Broncos have it on their helmets as well. I'm just saying, on the jersey on the front, it looks terrible. You look like a marathon runner.
Worst jersey, the Nuggets one or the new Bronco ones?
Oh, the new Bronco ones
are Bronco
so bad.
The Bronco ones are terrible. These Nugget jerseys are okay. I like these Nugget jerseys.
Yeah, you're sitting alone on that one.
Yeah, I like this jersey. This jersey was good. It was a good jersey, and the shot was even better. Oh, my gosh. Let me know when you get LeBron James moping and whining at the end of the game. They're all the Lakers, dude. Charles Barkley, I got to play this out. This guy, the Lakers, they never cease to amaze me. I actually had a lot of respect for them during that game. I was like, wow, Lakers playing well. They're executing. AD's playing like a man.
Like he has
D-Lo.
A respect meter.
No, I do have a respect meter.
And it fills up as the game goes.
You were rooting against them the whole time.
I was just sitting back
waiting for the
watching
King's
good
demise.
Basketball. I was watching saying, how are the Nuggets going to do this? Because even when they went down 20 and the crowd was in, I said, they're not out of this. They're not out of this. And Christian Brown, this white boy could go. This guy was at Kansas, won a national championship. He's a role player. He's the same dude.
Yes, he's a great role player.
He's a nice role player.
Yeah.
He's a perfect piece for a championship team. He came in.
He's a TJ McConnell type to me, perfect off the bench.
Dude, he flipped that game.
Perfect off the
second
bench.
Quarter. First, the end of the third quarter, they go into the fourth quarter down 10. I said, oh, the Lakers in trouble. Lakers in trouble. And despite LeBron going God mode in the fourth quarter, where he was going crazy. I mean, I was like, wow, this guy's 39 years old still doing this. No, I don't want him with the Warriors. I don't want him. No, that's not what was going on in my head. What was going on in my head was, how are Jokic and Murray going to do this? How's Mike Malone going to get this team to defend at a high level? KCP, the plays are being made. I was just sitting back and enjoying the game. Even when LeBron was making threes, I was like, oh! KCP dunking over Torian Prince. Oh!
Look, I know
Jamal Murray, oh!
There's not a lot of moves out there to be made, and I'm telling you right now, pair up Curry and LeBron. I'm here for it. We're all here for it. Dude, you are so full of cap, it's not even funny.
Why am I full of cap?
Because everyone would take LeBron in a heartbeat right now. They could say whatever they want. They will take LeBron. That fourth quarter, he showed you he could still pull back and be one of the top two or three players in the league at any given moment.
And he's still going to lose in the first round.
Because the team around them isn't good enough. And the Warriors are at home. They will get to the playoffs with LeBron and Curry. Absolutely.
Okay, great. We'll lose in the first round.
It's better than being the 10 or 11 seed.
Oh, my gosh.
Paying $400 million for your team.
The bar is dropped so far.
Make sure you don't miss that break, bro.
You got to recalibrate.
All right. Sure. It's coming up in a game brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. We got Giants. We got so much stuff to get into, man. All right, it's a buffet. What do you want? Fried chicken? You want the ice cream sundae? You want the Sizzler special? The Sizzler special, I should say. Whatever you want. 888-957-9570 is the number.
The Lakers stink.
Of course, it's a heartbreaking game. You don't ever want to lose in that fashion. I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Vontae and Shasky.
LeBron James, after the Lakers blow a 20-point lead in Game 2 of their first-round series.
That's tough.
They lose to the Denver Nuggets on the walk-off, fadeaway, baseline jumper over Anthony Davis. Jamal Murray, what a special. He was awful. He was 3 of 16 at one point. And just turns it around, keeps shooting. But, of course, the LA Lakers, they can't accept defeat. It's always got to be somebody else's fault.
Well, I think Warrior fans at times have not been able to accept defeat.
Stop this, the Lakers. Stop throwing it. We're nothing like Laker fans.
Well, I'm watching all those games last
don't
night.
Put us in that category.
And there was also Cleveland and Orlando going on. And that was like a 10 to 15 point disparity all game. Yeah, so,
it was the NBA TV game.
Yeah, well, it's great because, like, on YouTube TV, they have this little quad box multi-view. Uh-huh. And so I was watching all the games all at once. I'm going back and forth. And then I had to go team mute because, you know, I had the LJ in my hand, and he was exhausted. So I'm watching all these games. And my number one takeaway, obviously the NBA is on fire right now.
Yeah.
I feel like the Warriors are a lot farther away than I thought, than I wanted to admit. And it's hard to swallow that and take it down the gullet, if you will, but you almost have to have that truth serum. You got to. I feel like the Warriors are farther than most people want to admit. And I saw you put out a tweet, and we had kind of talked about this yesterday. They're not one player isn't saving the day. No. They're not one player away. They're like layers of moves away. I don't know if it's two. I don't know if it's four. I don't know where it is. Well, but they're like multiple moves away from even being back in the playoffs, I feel like.
Well, we're going to get Scott Osler on at 9 o'clock. Scott Osler from the San Francisco Chronicle. He wrote a story, and it was crazy. So we have a show call. Shasky, myself, Lubb, and we're all talking about the show today. And, you know, what are we going to discuss? Or what are some topics? Or, you know, thinking about the Warriors, right? And Scott Osler literally comes out with an article that was straight out of our show call. And his article is headlined, and we'll get to Coach Vallejo because he wants to talk about the state of the Warriors. Coach, hang tight.
Yeah, I want to hear Coach's perspective.
Scott Osler writes, why the Warriors need to consider the unthinkable. And the unthinkable is trading away number 30, Wardell Stephen Curry. And what we're going to do is not advocate to trade Stephen Curry. But when you sit back and watch these Western Conference playoffs, and I'm seeing OKC with Jalen Williams and SGA and Chet. Chet hasn't even hit a weight room yet.
I mean, he's scratching the surface on what he could become.
The T-Wolves are not going anywhere, folks. Not with Anthony Edwards.
I think Anthony Edwards is scratching the surface on what he could become.
You got the Luka and Kyrie problem in Dallas, and Luka will always be in the conversation.
Luka looks like a guy who's going to surpass. It's going to be Jokic and Luka when it's all said and done as the greatest European players of all time. I didn't think would happen with the Dirk career that we saw.
We saw the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Well, we see the talent they have.
And that's, yeah, yeah.
All right, we see them. We know them.
Yeah.
Steve Ballmer is going to spend a lot of money. The Clippers with the new arena are going to always try to be in the mix with L.A., the limelight. People will go
It'll
play
be a
Clippers.
Destination, that's for sure.
And they've always been able to attract free agents.
Yeah, you're right.
The Sacramento Kings. What are they going to do?
I still think they're in the mix.
They still might be. You still have Fox. You still have empty calories. You do calories is good for some regular season wins, though.
And they did knock us off, so I'm just going to keep quiet and swallow it, and then you just got to take your poison.
It bothers me.
We didn't even talk about the champs yet. Denver.
I mean, they're in their prime.
They're in their prime.
If you told me they had a 5-year window from here, I'm not even talking about going back. From here, I'd be like, yeah, probably.
They're rolling.
I'm not saying they're going to win it every year. I'm saying they're
in the mix.
Top of the top.
You got Jokic.
Yeah.
You got Jokic going 20-20. He's gone 20-20, I think, 4 times since 2020 playoff. I don't know. I lost count.
And everybody seems to be financially locked in.
Yeah. They're loaded. They're ready to go.
Yeah.
It bothers me.
So, I guess the question is, are the Warriors closer to rebuilding than they are to being a championship contender? And if so, where does that leave Stephen Curry? Now, personally, I want to see Steph retire as a Golden State Warrior.
I think everyone does.
I would ride it out with them no matter what. They win 15, 20 games. They win 30 games. They miss the playoffs again. I'll ride with Stephen Curry. I am.
I mean,
but
I think the 99% of the fans listening are going to do the same.
But we are, and something that we brought up in January on the show, and I said, Shasky, we're not there yet, but we may be becoming closer to having a conversation about rebuilding and thinking about life after Stephen Curry. That is the reality in the Western Conference. I don't know what moves the Warriors can make. Bringing Klay back, it would be great to have the big three here, but it's not good enough to win in the West right now. Mm. It was proven. Now, if Draymond Green doesn't get suspended for 17, 18 games, okay, maybe you're in the 5 seed and maybe we're having a different conversation, but we're not. And they're going to be a year older. It just feels like, and now we're only a few days into the playoffs, but it does feel like the Warriors are a lot farther away from a championship and a lot closer to rebuilding.
Not knowing what he would want, right? Because there's this huge thing, when you say rebuild, it's like, well, in the NBA, you risk alienating that superstar. Very few people want to do the Joey Votto, the Derek Jeter. And I'm using baseball as an example because it's a little more prevalent. The Todd Helton. You're a career Rocky. Yep. You're a career.
Tony Gwynn,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, in the NBA, it's really Dirk, Duncan, Kobe in the last how many years?
Yep.
Before that, Reggie Miller.
Yep.
Right? Like, I mean,
Jordan went to the Wizards after retiring.
You know?
It's kind of crazy.
But so I guess what I'm going at is, like, I think the NBA is very different, and I put the NFL closer to the NBA, and, like, the stars don't always finish up on their teams. Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, like, Tom Brady, go right down the list, Peyton Manning, like, all the greats, Aaron Rodgers now, Brett Favre, they've all switched teams. The NBA is really difficult to play in one uniform, so when you say rebuild, you risk alienating Steph Curry.
Yep. He doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. He wants to win. Scott Oster, he writes this, and we were discussing this yesterday. The Golden State Warriors are at a crisis point. If you watch the beginning of the playoffs over the weekend, you surely notice that the league's top teams are getting younger, quicker, more springier. In that landscape, the Warriors' core three, Klay, Curry, Draymond, might hold steady for another season or so. But holding steady is like treading water in an Olympic 400-meter style freestyle relay. The Warriors say they will consider all options, except, of course, trading Curry. Why would you consider trading one of the great athletes and people in the history of the world? Well, there will be two reasons to consider this nuclear point. If team owner Joe Lacob and his front office sneakers see trading Curry as the best option for avoiding a bleak and embarrassing future for the Warriors, if Curry embraces and endorses the idea for the good of the Warriors and for himself, if another team will offer the Warriors a bounty of draft picks and prospects in exchange for Curry, thus jumpstarting a necessary team overhaul, the Warriors should at least consider the offer and present it to Stephen Curry. And so, it's all about maximizing the window of Stephen Curry. What if there's no options this offseason to do that?
This is all about, like, risk assessment. But the reality, and I hate admitting this, I wasn't ready to admit this, but the reality is, today, they're significantly closer to rebuilding than they are contending.
No doubt.
And I know no one wants to hear that, but it's the reality. And you can say, well, Joe, while you have Steph Curry, you're always in the mix. No, you're not. You've missed 3 out of the last 5 playoffs. Now, you won a championship in that time period, and I'm not going to say that's an outlier. That's the bonus championship. But the stars aligned for you, and you made the most of it. It was a magical run. But to think you're going to strike magic again and lightning's going to strike again, like, probably not. Look at how bloated the contracts are. Look at how difficult it is to move some of those contracts. Look how difficult it is to utilize the very few assets that you have. Like,
you look at their assets.
They need a miracle trade, and well, I don't think that miracle trade is happening.
Well, you look at the assets they have. Second round pick in this upcoming draft, 53 overall. You got a first round pick in 2025, second round pick in 2026. That's right, just one pick in 2025. You get three picks in 2026. You get your own first round pick. 2027, 2028. But it's bleak right now when it comes to draft picks. It's bleak. And then we talk about the luxury tax and what Lakeham has to do. Now, let me be clear, though. And I have found this out over the weekend through sources with the Golden State Warriors. That Joe Lakeham, he understands that maybe he may have to slash a payroll. But Joe Lakeham is still that guy. And this is what I heard over the weekend. I believe it. Okay. Yeah, I think you'll believe it. If there's a deal out there to make, and if there's an opportunity to win and get a big-time player, Lakeham has no problem paying the tax once again. That's where his mindset is at. It's championship first. It's winning first. But if we can't succeed in that avenue and get a player here that can take us over the top, then yes, we could slash payroll. But there's no doubt Joe Lakeham, if there's a deal out there, he's going to be tempted to take it. He's going to be tempted to make a bold move.
But can't we agree, you and I, like, forget what Lakeham says, because we all believe he's going to try to be bold. I mean, the guy's been bold at every step of the turn. Every step of the turn. There's not one singular trade that I think catapults them back to the top. See, to me, it's like there's a layer of moves right that need to happen. Now, it starts with a huge domino. Yeah. We all agree. Like, it would start with a huge domino. Who is that difference maker to start things?
Don't know. Don't even know who's available.
Let's say I throw some names. Let me just throw some names at you. Okay. They make the crazy trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo. How much better are they?
They're a lot better.
5-10 games?
They're a lot better.
But you're also giving up stuff to get them.
You're giving up a lot there. But what you're banking on when you bring in a Giannis is that you're going to get some players to come play alongside Giannis and Steph Curry. Because you get the third and fourth and fifth options who say, you know what, we're going to get wide open shots playing alongside Steph and Giannis. We'll play the easiest basketball of our career because of Giannis and Steph. So I always bake that into the equation. Somebody that we don't know is going to be on the radar who's going to fit right in if you do make that move. Now, you do have to give them a lot.
That's what I'm
saying.
You're
giving up JK. You're giving up Moody. You're giving up picks. You're giving up a lot.
You're probably giving up one of these guys. Either it's a sign and trade with Clay. It's Wiggins. It's Draymond Green. Like,
you're giving up a lot.
If you look at the salary that Giannis commands, you're going to have to staple one of those guys to it.
You're giving up a lot. There's no doubt.
Now, let's say if it's Embiid. Now, I look at Embiid, and similar to Giannis, which I don't think people really want to have the conversation on, you have to bake in. You're giving up a lot to get that guy, and his availability is questionable. You're better with him. I'm not denying, but those guys get hurt a lot.
They get hurt, but not only that, why would Embiid want to leave Philadelphia? He's got Tyrese Maxey.
With an open slot,
who's just now entering his prime.
Yes.
You got Tobias Harris about to walk. They're not going to re-sign him.
No.
And they're going to have a boatload of money. So
and you're beloved.
I could stay here.
And you're beloved.
And if I win in Philadelphia.
Yeah, you're a king.
That elevates me to another level.
Yeah.
Not hopping on another bandwagon to another team, to another culture. So I don't know what star is going to be available. I don't even think Giannis is going to be available. Milwaukee knows that if they trade Giannis, they're basically cooked. And does Paul George do it for the Warriors? He doesn't do it for me, Shaska.
Like, if I just swapped out Wiggins, Moody, let's say you keep Kuminga. Wiggins, Moody, picks, whatever. Maybe it's GP2. Are they the four seed?
Are they?
I'm asking. I don't know.
I don't know what they are with Paul George.
You're very down on the Paul George acquisition.
I like Paul George.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.